So I'll start over again. No. But dealing with those things, that there are going to be those that have questions. And the sermon series I'm going to be preaching for the next 3-4 weeks has to do with questions that I have been facing as a pastor recently over maybe the last year or two, and also questions that others have been faced with that they brought to me. How do I answer this? Some of the questions that I'm going to be answering, maybe to some, might be unnecessary questions, or maybe questions that don't need to be answered. But the title of the series is Questions You're Afraid to Ask Your Pastor. Questions You're Afraid to Ask Your Pastor. Like, uh-oh, what is this going to be about? But we're going to be looking at some, once again, one very, very important questions that need to be answered and that we need to be equipped to answer in the day and age that we live in. And so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, and if we could stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, we're going to look at verses 11 and 12. Verse 11 and 12, and then we're going to give a little bit more introduction to the message today. Just warning, today is going to be a little bit of a different kind of message than I usually preach. But I think it's going to be something that's going to be an encouragement to you and also give you some weapons of warfare to use in the battles that we face today. Matthew chapter 5, beginning verse number 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Dearly Father, I pray that you guide and direct the service this morning, that you give me the words to preach this morning. And, oh Lord, that perhaps the question that will be asked today would be, the answer would be one that someone today listening online or in the auditorium today is looking for. Or maybe it's an answer to a question someone has asked them. Oh Lord, I pray that we would learn from the message today, that we would be encouraged, and that, dear Lord, we would know how to answer those questions that people will ask us. And I pray that you would give us wisdom, give us instruction today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Questions you're afraid to ask your pastor. And so we're talking about Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Now, Jesus was telling his disciples that there are going to be those that throw false accusations, that are going to throw disparaging comments and things about you. And today is no different. If you're going to live in this world, you're going to encounter some problems. But what's the question that we're going to be answering today? And this is a question that unfortunately is being asked more and more that I think we need to be able to answer. Maybe 10 years ago, this question would have been thrown out. So, well, we don't need to answer that. That's a silly question. Today, I don't think it is a silly question. These are, by the way, a lot of these questions are geared toward what my generation and the 20-somethings and the late teens are asking that grow up in Independent Baptist churches. They're asking these questions because they're being faced with these questions from other people. So here's the questions. Are Independent Fundamental Baptist churches a cult? Oh, interesting question, isn't it? Now, of course, if you're here today and you have any types of biblical knowledge, you know that our church is not a cult. Amen. I hope you know that. It's not. Okay? But why do people throw that out there? Why do people say that? Why do people claim that our church or any Independent Fundamental Baptist church is a cult? And what is a cult? And why we are not one? That's what we're going to be looking at today. As well, Pastor, I already know that. Well, I know. I'm glad you know that, and I'm glad you're here. But these are things we need to equip ourselves with. But why do people do it? Is it, well, people are just mad and disgruntled, and they just throw things out there because they just want to. That some of that's true, but also other people throw that out there for a reason. So let's look at those things. So let's look at number one. 3 points this morning. The first one, why do people call us a cult? Why do people call us a cult? Why is that? And it's hard to judge, I'll be honest. It's hard to judge motivations from what people say. But from some research, and I delved into this a little bit, I don't recommend diving too deep into it. You can get run into some nasty stuff in this. But from research, you can roughly break down these individuals into two groups. By the way, there are entire Facebook groups devoted to Independent Fundamental Baptist churches that claiming they're a cult. There's whole Facebook pages dedicated to this. There's whole websites dedicated to this. There's whole books dedicated to this, okay? This isn't some spurious thing that a few people are saying. A lot of people say this. A lot of people throw this accusation. So who are these people? Well, you can roughly lump them into two groups, okay, for sake of time. I don't want to delve too far into this because we need to get to the important stuff. The first one, group number one, is that they're people that they're atheistic or heretical in belief, and they throw any attack on anybody that tries to practice biblical Christianity according to the Bible. Amen? They think anybody that lives by a specific creed or set system of belief is a cult. Okay? These people are free thinkers or people that are New Agers that just think and anything goes. Anybody that believes in absolute truth, you're a cult automatically. By the way, I'm going to say this. A cult is somewhat hard to define. Okay? It can be very hard to define. And many times people like to go to that word because they think cult, I mean, they think David Koresh in Waco, Texas. Okay? That's what they think. They think of Jamestown in, was it Guyana? Back, you know, drink the Kool-Aid thing. Remember that? Some of you from the 80s remember that. That's what they think of cults, okay? And we're going to get into what a cult is. But these people like to throw that word around because it scares people. And that we're a cult because we believe the Bible. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 16. 1 Peter chapter 3. That's why we looked at Matthew 5, 11 this morning and 12. That there's going to be people that say things negative about us, okay? They said of many Christians in the Acts, in the Old or in the New Testament, in the New Testament church, they called it that they were devil worshipers. The Catholic Church throughout the many years of whether it be the Waldenses or the Albigenses, heaped all kinds of false accusations against them. That is always going to happen if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're always going to have that. And so those type of things, I'm not going to be addressing that today. What can you do for those people? Not much. They have decided to reject the truth. Don't waste your time with it, okay? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 16. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. There's going to be those that falsely accuse you. You do right, so they don't have, you don't make what they say true. Sometimes we get mad when someone says something bad about us, don't we? We want to get upset, you know, and someone says, well, your church is just a cult. We want to get mad, okay, because we know it's not. But at the same time, don't give them any justification for their accusation. Act right, treat them with mercy and grace. And these people are not interested in the truth. They're really just trying to destroy the truth. And even our church here, we've had several people attack us on social media just because we stand for the Bible, even recently. Maybe some of you saw the comment on one of our live streams that we had to very quickly delete, but maybe some of you saw it. But someone that used that group in this church and throwing all kinds of false accusations and calling Pastor Harvey all kinds of evil, wicked things. Guess what? There's going to be somebody that's going to do that. There's always going to be somebody that throws things out there. Right? There's always going to be somebody that does that. Okay? So we don't need to worry about that. Don't be all offenders. Well, what are we doing wrong? Nothing. It means you're doing something right when those type of people come after you. That there's nothing you can really do about these people because there is always going to be someone who stands against the truth. 1 John 3:13 says, marvel not, the world hates you. Don't be surprised at that. Because we believe the Bible. The Bible is against what the world stands for. And so we're not going to worry about that. So that's group number one. Now, group number two is something we need to be concerned about. Group number two. These are the ones we must be concerned about. These are disillusioned people, okay, who have either, one, rebelled against the faith in certain ways and were treated wrong for doing so. Were treated incorrectly. Churches and pastors and people, when someone rebels against the truth, they can mishandle it and incorporate abusive types of things to try and bring someone back into the fold, okay, in a cultish kind of way, okay? Some have been abused by churches, but meaning that they have been shamed or they have been treated in an unbiblical and unchristian way. It does happen, okay? We just can't say, well, that never happens. It does happen. Lived it, okay? It happens. It happens. Number three, people that have been abused by authority figures within the church, whether it be pastors or deacons or things. I'm talking about abused. I'm talking about in very serious ways, either physically, sexually, different things like that. And churches do nothing about it and try and hide it and shuttle these people to different churches to hide their sin. Okay, that does happen. We can't ignore that this doesn't happen. It does happen. It's not the norm, but it does happen. Have been involved in cultish churches. Yes, they do exist. Okay, we just can't say, well, independent fundamental Baptist churches aren't a cult, so none of them are a cult. Some of them are. Okay, some of them act in a cultish type of way. That unquestioning loyalty to the pastor. Pastor can do no wrong, even when it's obvious he's stealing money from the general fund and people know about it, but you can't question the pastor. That's a cultish type of church. That's unbiblical. It's unchristian. It's not the New Testament church. And since they have seen the light, they set out to blow the whistle because they were taught these things are normal. These things are right. Also, maybe families that have a cultish type of mentality that, unquestioning, you can't question mom and dad. You know, even though mom and dad are doing sinful things, you can't say anything about it. By the way, your parents ought to be respected as your authorities. Amen? But at the same time, you can't, and these type of homes, like if it's very obvious your dad or is something doing wrong on the internet or anything, you can't go even ask a question. Dad, what's going on? You can't, oh, be quiet. You can't ask any questions about that. That's none of your business. That's unbiblical, non-Christian. Okay, so those type of things. We'd all agree with that, wouldn't we? We would agree with that. But what happens with these people is that they, because of they've endured some things or they've seen some mistakes of people. And when you see the mistakes of people, you can go out two windows. One, you can reject it all and say everybody's that way. Or two, realize that there are still sinful people in this world and not everyone's genuine, but there are a lot of genuine people out there and we need to move on. Okay? What these people choose to do is go out the window as I reject it all. For example, people like Jocelyn Zichterman in her book, I Fired God. And the subtitle of the book is I Survived an Independent Fundamental Baptist Cult. It's on Amazon. You can buy it. I wouldn't suggest doing that. And I didn't read it, by the way. I don't want to waste my time. However, what happened to this young lady was horrendous. She endured various kinds of physical, emotional, and mental abuse in one of these cultish churches. Okay? And she tried, and guess what? We have a book that Brother Ron Williams recommended to us, and that they meant it for evil. And guess what? This young lady that grew up in an abusive home was adopted into an independent fundamental Baptist family and one of these cultish type of churches, and the abuse continued for years and years. Okay, it does happen, but it's not the norm. But what these people do is these have been victimized people, and they say, well, and this is a problem with our culture right now. Okay, this is all introduction. This is why we need to deal with it. The major problem with these two groups and with our culture in general is there's an epidemic of what I call broad stroking. We talked about this Wednesday night about the email we got from the Department of Homeland Security, right? Our government likes to broad stroke people. We live in a culture that overly categorizes people, okay? If you have one little attribute of this group over here, oh, you must be one of them, right? And what the government's trying to do right now is that if you don't believe in sodomy and the LGBTQ plus or whatever letters or numbers they're going to add on there, that if you don't believe in that, then you're a white supremacist. No, we're biblicists because the Bible says it's an abomination. Male and female created he them. Amen? That's what the Bible says. But you're a white supremacist if you believe that. That's overly categorized and broad-stroking people. And so what these people do is they say, well, since my experience, and really what it is elevating self-experience, since this has been my experience, all churches are this way. All independent fundamental Baptist churches are this way. And that's just simply not true. That's not fair. And actually goes against what the name means, which we're going to get to in a minute. So how do we respond to this? How do we respond to this? Because there's and by the way, I'm letting you know, why I'm addressing this is this particular thought process is gaining a lot of momentum right now among young people. Why do you think we see a lot of young people leaving fundamental churches in droves? Because they believe this junk. Okay, they believe it. They get on Facebook, and whatever's on Facebook must be true, right? And they get on social media, they get a friend. Oh, you're in a cult. Well, how do you know? Oh, read this book or read this over here. So why I'm preaching on this is because you need some truth. The best way to inoculate against error is to have some truth in your system. Okay, so here's some truth. So we're going to look at this here. I only got 15 minutes left. I'm be honest with you, this might bleed over into tonight, okay? So we can go eat lunch. But these are important things. This is more of a teaching message, okay? I don't think any of you in here, sitting in here in service, honestly believe we're a cult, okay? Or else you wouldn't be here, okay? But if you run in the military, you invite somebody, oh, what kind of church? Oh, we're independent Baptist church. Oh, like one of those cult churches. Not so many years ago, military taught, Army taught, that independent fundamental Baptist churches were extremist groups in safety training. About 5 years ago that happened. Had a guy come in on a Wednesday night and said, did you realize in our safety training bulletin meeting that they were telling us that independent fundamental Baptist churches were extremists and not to go to their church and to stay away from them? They're talking about places like Westboro and things like that. By the way, Westboro is a cult of every sense of the imagination, okay? That's a cultish group of people, 100%. The Steven Anderson crowd, that's a cultish type of ideology they have. I've watched their videos, I've listened to their sermons, that's a cultish type of ideology they have, okay? Especially with Reformed theology, they go to a lot of stuff. They say some good stuff, okay? They say some good things, but you got to be careful. That type of follow-through is dangerous, okay? So here, what are some major problems here with this? Here's a response to this. By nature, independent fundamental Baptist churches are not all the same. Hence the name independent. No denominational strings. What they all these people say, well, this is a denomination. It's a denomination. It isn't. By definition, we are not. We are independent. Now, there are, we call it camps of groups of people inside of it, but we're not a denomination. We're independent. Fundamental means our doctrinal position on Bible doctrine. Baptistic, another statement of our doctrinal position. Not Reformed or otherwise. You cannot put everyone into the same basket. Even independent Baptist churches. There are independent Baptist churches that are as liberal as the day is long. They shouldn't have Baptist on their name. And then you got people all the way over on the cultish side. Okay? But that doesn't mean all churches are the same. So let's look at point number two. What is a cult? What is a cult? You know, we look at different things, a definition and characteristics of a cult. Here's a definition. A cult is a religious group which claims authorization by Jesus Christ in the Bible, but distorts the gospel. Okay? Let me say that again. A cult is a religious group which claims authorization by Jesus Christ in the Bible, but distorts the gospel. Okay? We would some Christian groups like David Koresh and things like that. These people claim a vision from God or an angel that either they are the Messiah or that they are a special prophet. All right. For example, Mormonism and Joseph Smith would be one of those. That's why we call it a cult, because it is, because it's a following of teaching that is not. It's an addition to the Bible, and they claim direct authorization from Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, when we say the word cult, it doesn't mean that they're going to go off and kill their followers, okay? That's not necessarily what we mean, but that is the type of idea behind it. However, we do claim direct authorization from Jesus Christ because of what the Bible says. And we believe the gospel according to the Bible, okay? And so we are narrow in our scope and belief, but people say, well, that's a cult. No, it's not. It's being a biblicist, okay? We live in a very broad-stroked world, a very broad range of truth, and we believe in one truth and one gospel that is in the Bible, that's not a cult. That's called the truth. The truth is, there's only one thing can be true. Let God be true and every man a liar, right? So we have to understand that. A religion, here's another definition, a religion regarded as unorthodox or spurious, okay? Once again, you got to be careful how you define, because we would be considered, if you look back at church history, what we believe is considered orthodox. If you look back at church history, if you look at today, we are not orthodox at all. If you look at the Catholic Church, Presbyterian, any type of mainline denomination, we are not orthodox to them. So you got, once again, got to be careful how you define a cult, okay? So, but if you look at church history, you look at the apostolic times all the way through, do we believe what is orthodox? 100% yes. This isn't a new thing we're believing. We've believed this since the time of the apostles, okay? The truth has always been there. There's always been a remnant who believed the truth. It's always been there. No, we did not come out of the Catholic Church. No, we did not come out of the Reformation. Baptists have no connection with either of those things. We are not Reformed. I don't understand why Baptist churches say we're a Reformed Baptist church. If you know your church history, the history, the Reformers persecuted Baptists. John Calvin killed them, okay, and called them heretics and burned them at the stake like the Catholics did, okay? So that, we have to understand that. That's where the truth lies there. By the way, if you want church history curriculum, I've got some of that, and we're going to be trying to start that up again. But that's how it's important to know your history and know where things are. Just because someone throws a name around doesn't make it true. Got to know where your definitions are. Independent Baptist churches are many times called cults because relative to culture, we are not orthodox. So we must be careful of how we define what a cult is. A cult is a religious organization that's built upon the teaching of a religious leader whose authority is viewed as equal to or greater than the Bible, whose teachings are opposed to the Bible and Christianity. So they say, well, the Bible doesn't say that. That doesn't matter. I'm above the Bible. I have a direct revelation from God. That's like with Joseph Smith. It doesn't matter. It's against the Bible. I've been given another book. I've been given another revelation. What I say is more important than the Bible. The Pope, right? Ex cathedra. What does that mean? That whatever he says is direct from the voice of God, and if it goes against the Bible, it doesn't matter. That's a cult. Okay? That it's not based on the Bible. It goes against the Bible in every way, shape, or form. And whenever you go to your priest, if you're a Catholic, if you go to your priest and say, well, the Bible doesn't say that. Well, the Pope said it. We believe it in the catechisms. You believe that before the Bible. That's a cult. Here are the characteristics of a cult. There's an abrupt break from normal historic Christianity. It appeals to the pride of man. They have a new revelation. They have something new that no one else has. Remember how I say, when I say, well, we found a new way. This is the new way of doing things. The new independent Baptist. Wave a flag. Red flag waving. Okay, appeals to the pride of man. They tend to major on minor things, meaning that is what leads some to believe that we are a cult, because they view dress, music, holy living as minor issues. Isn't that what we see as a trend in even independent Baptist churches? Well, that's not major. That's majoring on the minors. It's part of holy living for God. It's part of our Christian life. It's not a minor thing. Is it as important as salvation? No. However, you just can't throw it out the window either. Okay? But many times why people believe independent Baptist churches are a cult is because of how pastors and churches have handled these particular issues. How they've handled them, shaming people into conforming instead of teaching them what the Bible says and letting the Lord do a work in their heart. That's where it can become cultish, to be honest. We're not here to control people, right? Mike Allison says this from his pulpit all the time, and I agree with him. No one's keeping you here. If you want to leave the church, the door's right there. I'm not keeping you here. No one's keeping you here. You're not going to be shamed if you decide to leave the building. You know, if you decide to leave the church. Well, I'm not coming back anymore. Well, we're going to plead with you and find out why. If there's something we did, we want to make it right, but we're not going to shame you and accost you, which unfortunately some churches in our town do. We've run across several, and actually Brother Seals and I were talking about this the other day. There are several churches in our town that are more of the charismatic variety that when they get a soldier coming, even the base has put something up about this, is what they do. If they stop coming, they stalk them. They follow them around town. They knock on their doors, and they tell them that if they don't come back to church, that they're destined for the pit of hell and all these things. That's cultish. That's not Bible. That's not Christianity. Christ never forced himself on anyone. People who are true Christians choose him. All right, I'm trying to hurry here. Here we go. So the characteristics, they tend to major on minor things. They also have a tendency to perfectionism. They believe that they're becoming more and more perfect, and someday they will arrive at perfection. Okay, this goes back to human pride, like in the Garden of Eden. Like Joseph Smith, he honestly believed this. He was accused and convicted of being a peeping Tom. He was married many times. He wrote the doctrines of salvation. We are notwithstanding our weakness the best people in the world. We are morally clean and in every way equal and in many ways superior to any other people. That's what he said. That's cult. Okay? Christianity is not based on becoming more and more perfect. It's realizing that we can't and realizing we need a Savior, realizing we can't live the Christian life in our own strength and we need the power of God. That's what Christianity is about. Here are some of the traits of a cult. Number one, they have an authoritarian leader. And this is going to be another message. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. That's going to be another message in the series we're going to deal with. These leaders say, God has showed me something, and if you disagree with me, you are doomed. If you follow me and obey me, you will reach heaven. Almost all of them would say that the Bible was the sole authority for faith and practice. Even Mormons say that. But they are presenting an interpretation for the Bible, and if you disagree with that, then you are doomed to judgment. Okay, you're doomed to the pit of hell if you disagree with anything I say. That's not biblical leadership. Okay. Second, they are oppositional. They like to have beliefs that are opposed to traditional beliefs and practices, like polygamy. They, like the Mormons and others, they believe in polygamy, in that, well, this is a different thing, and celestial marriage and all these different things. They are exclusive, that you can't have the truth except through them. Okay? We believe the Bible is universal. There are Catholics who have trusted Jesus Christ, their Savior, still in the Catholic Church. There are any denomination, any people. I'm sorry, we don't have a corner on the truth because the truth by nature is in the Bible. If someone uses the Bible, doesn't matter what name they have on their sign, if they're following the Bible, then they have the truth. Now, should they have that name on their sign if they're not going against what that group represents? No, but that's beside the point. It doesn't matter. Just because we have the name Baptist on the sign doesn't mean we have the truth. We have the truth because we follow the Bible. Because there are plenty of Baptist churches, even those in our town, they have Baptists on them, but they don't have the truth because they don't follow the Bible in regards to the gospel or anything. Okay? And we have to understand, the Bible is not exclusive to Baptists. The Methodists for many years, and even there's still some, I've been to one, been a Methodist church that basically was kind of disconnected. It wasn't a United Methodist church, but was a more of an independent Methodist church that preached the gospel. And you know what? The pastor still got up there and wore his black robe and everything. But guess what? They preached the Bible. He used King James Version too. So you just can't, once again, you can't overly categorize everybody. However, does the denomination stand for error? Absolutely. And I don't know if you noticed it, but that the Methodist denomination looked like it's going to split over gay ministers and things, which is good. I'm glad that's happening. You at least want to stand for something. But anyway, still, the truth is in the Bible. It's not what name you have on your sign. It's what Bible you have in your hand, right? Make sure you have the right one, too. That's important. Amen? Traits, they are secretive, okay? Secretive. They have hidden or secret ceremonies for marriage, repentance, etc., secret things. You know, if your children is having problems, you know, go ship them off to this secret place and get secret counseling and no one knows about it, okay? That's cultish, okay? I'm not talking about Hepzibah House, okay? If some of you think I'm not talking about that, that was a very open ministry. And it's very sad what happened to it, to be honest. But because of people that decided to present. By the way, if anybody wants to go on Dr. Phil to present the truth, I'm sorry, they got no. Dr. Phil's entertainment, not truth, okay? It's like Jerry Springer for daytime television, okay? That's what it is. But there are groups, I'm going to get into this more later, groups of people that say, well, you know, instead of if abuse has taken place, well, we don't need to go and tell the authorities they need to go and need to go to a secret place, a undisclosed location, get some rehab, get right with God, and then everything will be fine. I'm sorry. If you cover your sin, you're not going to prosper. Because who covers his sin will not prosper. The Bible says that. It's very clear about that. And they have this idea of covering sin up and dealing with it and covering it up, and then it won't come back anymore. It's just gone. That's cultish. That's what cults do. Very different from mainline denominations, talking about not the word denomination, but that they believe in odd things. Like if someone comes up here as a pastor, you know, the Lord spoke to me, I am the new Messiah. Okay, that's not going to go over with any denomination in town, okay? Right? That's not going to go over. That's where we think of cult many times, but it can mean something more than that. So number three, why we're not a cult, okay? Maybe you've been listening through those things, like, oh, we're not any of those things. You're right, we're not. I think it's clear to see that we don't fit the bill on any of these descriptions. And I could go on and on, but I'm not going to. We strive, to be only biblical in our stances and lifestyle. Amen. To live according to the Bible. Now, do we belittle people that don't live that way? No, that's not Christ's way. Guess what? His disciples didn't get it every time. Amen. When he was speaking to them and teaching them, he didn't belittle them. He encouraged them and challenged them. That's what we do. That means we go against the culture that we live in on many issues. Guess what? We believe the Bible because on relation to marriage. Right? We believe the Bible on morality. We believe the Bible. But guess what? Our culture doesn't think that way. Go to Hollywood for 5 minutes. And you find out that's not what our culture thinks. And guess what? Just because we're countercultural, that doesn't mean we're a cult. Jesus was very much countercultural for Israel at that time because he went against their doctrinal and spiritual and their customary traditional way of thinking. Just because it's tradition doesn't make it right. Man, well, we've only done it this way. That doesn't make it right. What makes it right is whether it's in the Bible or not. That's what makes it right. That does not mean we're a cult, but we follow Jesus and his word, not a man or a denomination. If you look at it through the church history, those that have done a great work for God have never followed a man. Waldensians were named after Peter Waldo, but he did not like people calling them Waldensians because it said it wasn't about him, it was about Christ. It was those that struck out for God and people and what their enemies. By the way, the names that these people were given, like Christian, is what their enemies gave them. Those that were opposed to them. But those that have ever done anything for God that God has greatly used, they never followed a man. They followed Jesus Christ. They followed the Bible. Did they get everything right? No. Guess what? We don't get everything right either. I don't get everything right. I don't get it all right. You know why? Because I'm a fallible human being. I should prove you right there that we're not a cult because an authoritarian leader will never say that. I'm always right no matter what. And if you think I'm wrong, then you're of the devil. We're not a cult. So today, I hope this message has helped you. It's helped give you an answer to those who say that we are. And be careful you don't get involved in a pointless debate over this. There are some pointless debates about this, okay? Remember, group number one, just don't debate those people. No matter what you say, they're just going to say the same thing. However, we need to focus on, we have personally encountered, my wife and I, and also another reason why this message is close to my heart, we have personally encountered people that have been involved in this type of abuse. Okay? It's a sad thing to see. It's a sad thing to see. And what they view it as, and it's really a tool of the devil. It 100% is a tool of the devil because they think anybody that has the truth of the Bible, the way the devil leads these people to abuse is to use the Bible as a weapon against somebody emotionally and mentally. And whenever they hear preaching or teaching that is about a biblical truth, it triggers them, oh, this must be abusive. Oh, this must be wrong when it is the truth. It inoculates them against the truth. And that is wicked. That is of the devil. And by the grace of God, our church will never do that. But we have compassion on those, and you have to very carefully work with these people. And by the way, as you go out into the world, you're going, especially you young people, you're going to encounter more and more people like this. And you need to know how to help them. Don't just what a lot of preaching in years gone by has been, well, just write these people off. No, they've been injured and hurt. They have been damaged. But as I preached last Wednesday night, is God is a God of reconciliation. God is a God of mercy and of grace, and we need to present that. Truth is still truth. Sin is still sin. But how you handle it is really important. How you present the truth is whether we present it in love or not. If we reign it over somebody and beat someone into the ground with the Bible, that's not helping anybody. You're going to get a bunch of people that conform, a bunch of people that do what you want, but guess what? They're going to think in their heart, and maybe even you get to some of these things, and they even didn't get into the brainwashing thing. It's interesting. Lester Roloff used to say this. He said, I'm brainwashing the kids. He goes, I most certainly am. The Word of God, the washing of water by the Word. I want to be known as the best brainwasher in the entire world. right? And so that's what happens. You get them in the Word of God, and that washes their brain out and washes their thinking out. It does, amen? That's what our job is. But if someone doesn't want it, we can't force it on them. But you got to be patient with people. Pray for people. Do things in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in the power of might. Cults do their work in the power of intimidation, fear, and their own might. We do the work of God in the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It's freely here for anyone to take. Do we know how to give an answer? Do you know how to pray for people? As a baby, you guess what? It's very easy. I've had people on visitation, different things. I think it was one time a couple years ago. And so, aren't you one of those cult people? You know, you want to get offended. You're like, no, we are not a cult. As I know, some people think that, but no, we're not. We don't fit the definition of a cult, and we just believe the Bible. Oh, okay. You know, I just heard that. You heard that news. All right, how many of the major news networks, they do run stories on this all the time? We're not a cult. Amen. Aren't you glad? If you had any questions, they got your question answered. But don't be upset with someone just because they ask. The information's out there. The things are out there. And so you know what? The good answer is, yeah, there are some cult churches that are cultish because they don't follow the Bible, and they're wrong. Our church isn't that way. I don't believe in that kind of Christianity. I don't. Amen? I know you don't either. So this morning, maybe we need to pray for those that we know struggle with this. Maybe we know of some people that have been injured and hurt. We know of some people. Hard to see. It's hard to see when the devil has used someone to so completely destroy somebody. It's wicked and evil. And we all know people. You know people used to come to this church. That's exactly the thing that happened to them. So what do? We pray for them. We love them. We care for them. How does somebody come so far and reject it all? How does someone write a book, I Fired God? How does someone do that? Because they've been convinced that everything they were told was a lie. When the truth was there, the truth was disguised and used as a weapon. It's evil and wrong. I'm repeating myself. I know we need to land. I need to land the airplane here. But do we want to pray for people like that? Do we care for people, reach out to people? Well, they've just rejected God. Sometimes people do that, yes. Have they gone out the wrong window? Yes. But what are you going to do to help them bring them back? What are you going to do to help reach out to them? What are you going to do to bring people back to the love and the true biblical Christianity? That's our job. That's part of reaching our Jerusalem. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and caring for us. And Lord, I know we don't have to answer every false thing and every wicked question that is asked, dear Lord. But Lord, these are important questions. Some of these are, and I pray that we would have the answers ready. That we'd have it cemented in our mind, that if anyone tries to present error to us, dear Lord, that we would know what we believe and know what your word says and cast those things aside because they exalt themselves, their thoughts that rise up and exalt themselves above yourself and your word. And I pray anything that does that, and the devil does that so often, dear Lord, that we would cast them aside and say, no, I stand on the Bible, the solid rock. Oh, Lord, we pray for those that have been damaged and injured and hurt by sinful people. That's nothing more, nothing less. Sinful people that have made sinful mistakes and acted in sinful ways. Lord, I pray that you would help us to reach out to those people, have love and compassion on them, for they are injured and hurt. We pray that if there are those in our hearts, dear Lord, that we know, that we would pray fervently for them, that we'd reach out to them and show them the love that you have for them. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that we will lay it all at the altar today, that you'd bless his invitation time. We pray if anybody here, if they're not sure that they're saved, I pray that they would come forward and accept your free gift that only you can give. In Jesus' name, amen.